Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast.
If you like a lot of wrestling on YouTube, join our cult. Hello and welcome once again to my room, Jack's room, Ross's room, the Cultaholic Weekly Wrestling Podcast room. I'm the guy talking with a big F off Luigi's Mansion poster that I found under my bed from about 2002. Joined as always by the fantastic Jack. Say something.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great, and the amazing Ross.
Thank you very much for that compliment, Matthew. How are you today? It's fine afternoon.
I'm so happy and so lovely. I woke up nice and early like a good little boy to watch AEW and NXT, which were last night because we've filmed these on Thursdays. And I thought, I'll get this done. I'll go outside, enjoy some of the sun and just relax and rest. Well, of course, as soon as I did that, the bloody sun went home for its tea. So as I'm recording this now, I'm lovely to see the pair of you, obviously. But I can see right now the sun is back out. So I know, sod's law, as soon as I finish talking to you guys, it's rain time. So how are you doing, Ross?
I am spectacular. A lot better than I was last week. Last week's comment section hasn't affected me in the slightest.
Good to hear. I believe him. What about you, Jack?
Yeah, doing all right. Bank holiday tomorrow, innit? Or today at the time of release.
So that's that means a lot right now.
Well, yeah, I don't know what it really means. And then obviously Money in the Bank on Sunday, which is going to be something. Don't know what to make of that yet, but it's going to be something.
Yeah, that's news to me. You know what else is news? The news section. Roman Reigns edited out of WrestleMania 31's recap from Monday Night Raw and also from the Monday Night Raw intro. So wrestling fans convinced that he's in the big dog house. Except for the fact that the Money in the Bank cash-in that they showed on Raw was focusing on Rollins, who obviously has a title match this Sunday at Money in the Bank. And I didn't even realise he was in the Raw intro because I was pretty sure he was on SmackDown. So don't know if this is a case of wrestling fans putting two and two together and getting five, but what do you think?
Yeah, he is on SmackDown, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would he be on Raw then?
I just read the news.
So I do think it's a bit weird, though, because obviously Rollins did pin Reigns to win the title, and that's a big bit they cut out, which didn't benefit the storyline or didn't change the narrative or anything like that, because surely Rollins being a heel, pinning Roman Reigns is more good for the heel than pinning Lesnar, who most people hate anyway. I don't know what to make of this. It's weird.
I think it's weird as well. It's like... part of me thinks... Vince wouldn't be annoyed at someone for not literally risking their life to come into work for his show. And then part of me thinks, yeah, of course he would. Of course he'd be annoyed at someone for not doing that. It's Vince McMahon. So I wouldn't be surprised if it turned out to be true. I imagine that Reigns annoyed them when he pulled out of Mania and then went public and just revealed that he had before they'd officially announced that he had, which I think they waited until like the Friday before WrestleMania to do. But I'm fully on Reigns' side if that is true. I hope it's not true because it's pretty bad if it is. But yeah.
Yeah, how dare Roman Reigns not risk actual death for a completely nothing match with Goldberg?
Yeah.
But maybe we're wrong, by the way. Maybe he actually is mad, and well, we'll have to see in the next few weeks. Bad news, former SoCal Deathmatch King Supreme passed away, I think, 2 days ago by the time this comes out. Known mostly for his XPW run and being involved in the Heatwave 2000 incident, which WWE is considered important enough to feature on their website, so... according, it was something like 6 million or so people have now looked at the Heatwave 2000 incident that we have on their website. So now more people know about them. And
well,
I like
the,
them because,
the car park.
No, the XPW, ECW went over to where XPW runs their shows, and XPW bought front row tickets and they had XPW shirts on. So the locker room came out at the start of the show, or maybe just Paul Heyman said, look, you can sit there, but don't do anything daft. And he went, you have to turn your XPW shirt inside out. And he goes, all right, we won't. And then as soon as the main event started, they all jumped up, put their shirts around XPW. He's like, XPW. And the camera's like over there anyway, so they didn't catch them. But what you did see on the TV and on the WWE Network was the entire locker room coming out to go get them. So you could see like Chaos is there, Supreme, I think Rob Black himself. And then like Big Lou, Sally Graziano, the huge guy in the FBI, and all the other guys just charging out to get him. So, good times, man. Good times. So, yeah, sad news there, but I did like him. Did a lot of crazy death matches with Angel and the likes. And like the fact that no one else has done this, his finisher was the frog splash off the top, but because he was big, he called it the toad splash. I don't know why no one else has thought of that.
Kevin Owens, is Kevin Owens called the bullfrog splash?
Okay.
No, but that's more recent. I'm not trying to say you're wrong.
Yeah. I mean, if I do it, it'd be the tadpole splash anyway, so I'm not going to call anybody out. Any thoughts on Supreme, or any, do you even know who he is? Or
I don't know much about him, but it is obviously sad news. Did you say he was primarily a deathmatch guy?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Moving on. AEW has been fined $10,000 by the Maryland State Athletic Commission for the Lights Out match that happened between Kenny Omega and John Moxley. And this happened because former WCW announcer Christopher Cruz complained to the Maryland State blah, blah, blah soon after the pay-per-view. And this prompted the commission to open an official investigation into the match, which concluded on April 28th. And the official consent order, the commission noted that Moxley and Omega used I love that they had to type this out, a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire and a broom wrapped in barbed wire to make each of the bleed. And it deemed AEW responsible for the actions of both wrestlers, so he should have fined $10,000 for unsportsmanlike or physically dangerous conduct, and also deliberately lacerating oneself or one's opponent, or by any other means, introducing human or animal blood into the ring. Yeah.
What? Wait. Why did this guy turn them in?
Something's gone on here. I was watching Tom's news video this morning, and Tom was reading out this guy's tweets like, oh, this is going to blow up today as we're sat here recording. It's a black eye on AEW and a black eye on the business. He seems to be reveling in whatever's happening here. So he's either gone for a job there and they've pied him off or something's happened there. He was having too much glee in AEW's supposed downfall in this scenario.
So I've been following the Twitter feed about this, and Chris Cruz is not a very popular individual right now with many people. But it doesn't look like he's doing it because he hates wrestling. As you said, Jack, people give me the impression he's doing this because no one wants to hire him.
No, Ross said that. That was Ross's idea.
That. I'm here as well.
Oh, sorry. There was a big cup of 5 minutes when we had to go get some drugs. So sorry if there's a bit of continuity there. Including Bix posted an old news article that quoted an old WCW booking committee that apparently Chris Cruz is part of. And it had the quote about Kevin Sullivan said, all right, here's the plan for tonight. So, Chris, make sure to tell Meltzer this next time he's talked to him.
Oh.
So I think Chris Cruz is trying to make a name for himself, like former WCW alumni Chris Jericho and the Disco Inferno. So
the Disco Inferno.
I can't wait for the Inable podcast, probably titled Cruising for a Bruising.
I think that this will be forgotten about next week. I think he's wrong. I don't think it's going to be a black eye on the industry. That's all. So silly.
Mm. Any other thoughts, Ross?
If they get banned from that state, there's plenty more states to go around, isn't there?
All the poor fans in Baltimore.
It's like one down, 49 to go. As I had to correct some of that, it wasn't a black eye for on wrestling. That's only a $5,000 fine. And another news, the storyline that won't go away, $94 million for Mississippi's poor spent on concerts, cars and wrestlers. In state's largest embezzlement scandal, says the Yahoo headline. According to the audit, large sums were also paid to former professional wrestling family of Ted DiBiase, including Ted DiBiase Jr. and Brett DiBiase, for work that was not performed for unreasonable travel costs or with little proof that the spending benefited needy residents. So if you remember a few weeks ago, if you do with these in order, and you should do, there was a story about Teddy Biasi Jr. We called the idiot son of Teddy Biasi, and we had to go, no, the other one. Basically getting money from something that wasn't supposed to go to what he was doing it for. Yeah, this is now a huge story that they're only side characters in this. They're the ones that will get episode 4 of the Netflix series.
I was going to say, there's going to be a Netflix thing on it.
Has to be, so. But again, we'll have to make the joke, and we'll do this every week until it gets reported. Ted DiBiase involved in some sort of weird scheme where he gets millions of dollars. It couldn't be any other, it couldn't be Kamala, could it? It had to be Ted DiBiase. Any other thoughts or daft jokes there, Jack?
I don't know enough about, I'm not good at embezzlement. I don't know what it's about.
Your Honour.
So there you go. Yeah, I don't know anything. Ross?
Yeah, that's the first I've heard of that. So I look forward to the Netflix documentary coming 2021.
Fantastic. Hopefully. And that's all the news I have, unless there's anything else I've missed out there, Jack or Ross.
There's been some matches announced for Double or Nothing, AEW Double or Nothing.
Oh, that is right. I was going to say the AEW section, but you can say them right now if you like.
If you want to save them for the AEW section, that's fine by me. We all want to get to the Hall of Fame, don't we?
It's we always do. What we Who cares to, about yeah. news and yeah, Ted DiBiase's yeah. stolen limos and Virgil? Let's go right to the Hall of Fame.
Everybody get excited for the Cultaholic Hall of Fame.
Now it's time for everyone's favourite segment, the Hall of Fame. And I'm looking at the results now and condescending or bast. In third place, Paul Gascoigne with 24%. So how do you think about one of England's greatest players? All right, cool. 25%, 1 point. Puddle of Mudd's rendition of Nirvana's About a Girl, but well out in front.
I watched it and that's all you see for about 3 minutes. It's sensational.
Elton John's live performance of I'm Still Standing. No, he wasn't. From his garden. 51%. I watched this because people on Twitter tagged me in it and went, this is what it looks like, Matthew. And I didn't think it was anywhere near as bad as you said it was.
Really? However,
51, oh, where, Matthew?
51% of the people who vote on this disagree, so it shows what I know. So well done, Ross. Well done, Elton. What have you got for us?
Do you really not believe that Elton John thing was as bad as it made out to be?
I've heard worse.
He didn't say a single word right. It was amazing.
He's consistent.
Anyway, I'm going to go for something from this week's NXT. Big old bloody Karrion Kross's entrance. Different. All the bells. It was like creator mode came to life and then just like everyone put all, every single like effect you can do on one entrance. I'm a little bit iffy about the lip syncing when it first began, but then it all tied together, didn't it? With her building it up and then a big explosion of lights and whatnot and he's standing there doing that. Fantastic entrance. How did they think them up? That's the question I'm asking.
I don't know. How they think them up. Yeah. I thought it was good. It's a good shout, that one. I like that for the Hall of Fame. What's gonna happen? What are their storylines gonna be? Who are they gonna feud with?
She talks about prayers, doesn't she, in that song? So, priest springs right to mind.
Yeah. God, you're good, Ross.
Yeah, I'm fantastic. I've got no idea, to be honest with you. I reckon he's just going to have a few of the old squashity-do matches all for a while, and then that'll be it.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Like Next. It. Jack, you came second, so you can go.
My pick is the block of ice that Chris Jericho threw at Matt Hardy on Dynamite. Because it was just... That casting call for that block of ice must have... Like, that's... Could you picture a more perfect block of ice for that spot than the block of ice that was used?
It was a bag, wasn't it?
Was it a bag? Well, then the bag of ice.
You say, what block of ice?
Wait, it looked brilliant. And it's the way that Jericho is, like, struggling to pick it up. And just, it looked like it hurt a bit and it would have been cold. It was my favourite spot of that match. I absolutely loved it. Matthew's shaking his head. I don't know why. Why?
It's just hearing you. Sorry. It was really good. It probably hurt a bit. It was probably cold. It's my favourite spot. Best. It's just, okay, come on.
It was my favourite spot in the match because it made me laugh so much and I can't really explain why, but I'm going to go for the ice that Jericho threw at Matt Hardy. It was so good. It was so good. That's my pick.
Ooh.
What? When it wins, a... when it wins, you're going to be absolutely devastated.
What do you want it listed as on the Patreon thing?
The ice that Chris Jericho threw at Matt Hardy.
Write the down ice. Jack's lazy pick.
It's not lazy. I genuinely feel passionate about this one.
I had a story one time about me and my friend. We went for a visit. Our other friend, who was also a block of ice.
What are you rather, talking about? That's
he's
not
a rather
talk,
chill
right?
mate.
What's your most interesting ice-related story, Jack?
I don't know. I can't ice skate. I'm bad at that. I ain't got really many ice. Maybe that's why I've picked it, because I've been deprived of ice in my own life. And this has shown me a world of possibilities. That's why.
Fantastic. Well, mine can only be one thing this week, and that is the man, the myth, the bloke who named his dog after one of his favourite things in life. That's right, Mr. Herb Abrams himself. Mr. Electricity, full of enthusiasm and dodgy coke, the love of hookers, tried to book Rusev Brody 2 years after he died.
That was in the opening press conference, wasn't it? He's like, I've got this guy and I've got Bruiser Brody. And the people are like, he died 2 years ago.
I mean, he had the Vice documentary made about him. So for a brief time, Herb Abrams was trending on Twitter, which is amazing. And the fact that at the end of it, they were like, well, I'm half convinced he faked his death. That's the type of thing he would do. And all his other mates are like, you think that man could shut up for 30 years? Oh, I mean, there's so many stories. At the end of the day, UWF was easily the worst weekly TV show by a country mile in 1990, 91, and 92. It was just a rotten promotion, boring, dull. You know, Andre the Giant for like 1 week, and then Vince brought him back out. Like, no, Andre, come back here. But so it hadn't been for the fact that he had this crazy enthusiasm, cocaine and hookers and all this, it would be forgotten along with all the other wrestling promotions that have come and gone, like AWF and WXO and all the others. But the fact that it was Herb, he was, again, Mr. Electricity, the costume is like, are you guys ready for tonight? His malicious and vicious takes on Steve Williams. Amazing. And he's just there like, get ready for me, scream for me, UWF. Let's hear it for the Jews.
What?
Can I hear that? That's a legendary quote of his. I'm going to find footage from saying it.
I've not seen this week's episode yet. I've not seen it, so I need to watch this.
You got to. And then again, me and Ross talked about this before, and it just shows up wrestling. He was a guy who bounced checks, was ridiculous, in completely over his head. He wanted to go against Vince McMahon, even though he hadn't promoted any shows before, and all this. And he ran the MGM Grand and had maybe 300 people 16,000 seat a thing. And all the wrestlers are like, God, I miss him.
Yeah, good a nice guy Herb was.
Good old Herb.
What's he like, eh?
This is really reminiscent of a certain British promotion that booked massive arenas and filled it with 200 fans.
God, I can't wait for the Vice documentary on Five Star. It's got to happen next season.
We need to do it. Never mind Vice.
Yeah, we do.
We were there. Yeah. We got bragging rights over Vice. And we have all these shows because we got them from the TV show. No, we didn't. We downloaded them from Joe Hendry's Twitch.
Oh, Hendry's been absolutely good. He's been going viral. God. Have you seen Hendry's recent explosion of popularity?
I saw his McDonald's on the other day, aye?
He did a McDonald's one. He did that Tiger King one. And he did one about washing your hands to the tune of What's My Age Again? Wash My Hands Again. And he's been going... I've seen him shared on Facebook by people who aren't wrestling fans at all. And he's got a Reddit AMA coming up. The sky's the limit.
I don't like Joe Hendry because he's good at everything. Boo.
Yeah, he's a bastard, isn't he? Absolute bastard.
Yeah. And he knows games as well. I'm like, well, at least I'm nerdier than him. And he does like best forgotten Dreamcast classics. I'm like, oh, no. So those are your three picks. We have a block of ice in brackets. Yes, a block of ice. Two is what's his name?
Karrion
Kross. Thank you. Karrion Kross's spectacular black and white entrance. Oh, good old Herb.
Come on, ice. Just
please type that good old. You know, maybe if you'd been into Herb rather than coke, you'd be still alive today. But then when we were doing Vice documentaries about him. Those are your three picks. If you would like to put one of them in the Hall of Fame, don't worry, you can. Can too. Patreon.com/cultaholic.
Got it.
Nearly escaped me.
This is This Week in the Wrestling. It's This Bloody Week in the Wrestling.
This Week in Wrestling. On to SmackDown. Oh, gutted. Anyway.
Wait, I love how every week there's some sort of shade thrown at SmackDown. Poor Smacky D.
Bad.
I can't remember a thing that happened before he says it every single week.
Right.
No, same. Same.
If it was a slushy flavour, it would be lemon. Daniel Bryan cuts a good promo about being excited for the Money in the Bank ladder match, but he's cut off by Baron Corbin. They have a 15-minute match which ends in a DQ. Corbin, Nakamura and Cesaro beat down Bryan and throw him into a pile of ladders. Good one, lads, it says here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. All right, who wants to talk about Baron Corbin first? Oh, go on, Ross. I can see you. Go. Oh, all right, then.
No, I just... They did a graphic towards the end of the night, which is was advertising the match for this week, where it's got Nakamura, Cesaro, and then Corbin in the middle. And then there was some news, wasn't there, about Sami Zayn not being available coming out of WrestleMania for some reason. I can't remember what it was, if it was an injury or something else. And they've just literally gone, Sami's not here. Who's another heel? Oh, you do Baz. Plonk. Put him in there. Yeah. No one will notice. It's a load of bollocks, so it is.
There's been no explanation for this. No. It reminds me of Shane McMahon's rotating cast of heel henchmen who would change from week to week and it didn't matter. Yeah.
Shelton Benjamin, Eric Young.
Eric Young was in it, yeah, of course.
Drew was one, was Drew?
Drew was no. For a bit. One of the colognes.
The oh, good wow. One.
That'd the dream good. Team. No. Isaiah Thomas was gonna be there, but Eric Young wanted him out. No, nothing soggy then, Jack.
No, I liked it. I liked it. It was good.
They've been doing this for a while, haven't they? The random three baddies. It's been since 2017 when Braun Strowman turned, even though he shouldn't have. And you had Baron Corbin and
Ziggler. And...
Yeah, then like, yeah. Then they kept on like replacing people, like Frankenstein's arms.
Yeah, it was bad.
Well, I didn't even notice that didn't happen because who cares what SmackDown? Carmella beats Mandy Rose in the Money in the Bank qualifier. After Sonya comes on the stage and cuts a promo to distract Mandy, you betcha, the best thing about SmackDown by a country mile. How embarrassing. Not nearly as embarrassing as losing to Carmella, which is probably about to happen. And then it did. Any thoughts, Jack?
I'm enjoying what Sonya's doing at the minute. The matches haven't been very good, but her character work has been absolutely excellent, in my opinion. So... I'm excited. I think we'll find out who the hacker is at Money in the Bank. Could it be CM Punk, as was rumoured this week? Almost certainly not. It's really stupid. But it's probably going to be Mustafa Ali, I think. I guess.
Ross.
There was one camera shot where she was clutching her hair. And I was like, that's Victoria. It just cut to her really quickly. She was doing that thing Victoria used to do. She's been, ever since the split happened, she cut that promo where she went one way and then t'other straight away. She's been fantastic as Sonya.
Edge had a good hair clutch.
Yeah. Who else had a good hair clutch?
Foley.
Foley? Yeah. Pulled it out, yeah.
The Forgotten Sons pin the New Day in non-title action. And then Jackson Ryker gets involved from the outside. Ooh.
Aren't they so exciting?
Yeah. Love them.
I forget. Dolph Ziggler says he will beat Otis tonight, win Money in the Bank, and be world champion again soon.
Oh, God, yeah.
He loses to Otis clean. All right, that's some nice that's stuff the, there, Jack. That's nice.
The bit we need to speak about is what he had planned for Mandy. If he was going on to win Money in the Bank, he said he was going to win the briefcase, then the title, and then after Sonya's knocked out Mandy, slide up on next to Mandy and make her feel better. But he said it really creepily, so I was thinking, what are your plan, Dolph?
That is creepy. Ew.
Matthew, thoughts?
I mean, it's disgusting. Can you imagine Dolph Ziggler taking that poor woman to see him do stand-up? I'm worth $3 million, me. Uh-huh. On Raw, AJ Styles wins a gauntlet match after no selling death like half the cast of One Piece and just beats Humberto Carrillo. And now he's in the Money Bank ladder match. How did he come back from the dead? Oh, it says here, scoop here from Cultaholic, a wizard did it.
Yeah, I don't know how he did it. Don't know what happened. He didn't even explain. I saw Ross getting very annoyed about this, and rightly so, to be fair, Ross.
Oh, Ross, what was happening?
I just want to know why. I couldn't care if it was Gallows and Anderson dived in there into the grave and they perished, and that's why we're not seeing them anymore. I couldn't care if AJ, you know, got plucked out by fairies or something like that. Just give me I want to know. I know they've never explained it before when people have gone and been buried and whatnot, and obviously Undertaker's a little bit different because he's a mystical, supernatural thing. But this common man, this Mack truck, AJ Styles, I want to know how he got out there. As stupid as it is, I don't care. Just give us a reason.
Oh, God.
That would be good. Gallows going, I'll give my life for AJ Styles. And the Grim Reaper's like, you're not worth bloody AJ Styles. Goes, oh, Anderson is there. And he's like, no, I don't want to die. Because yeah, I'll take both of you. He's like, no. The Viking Raiders beat the Street Profits in a non-title match because that's how all title matches are built to these days. Well, yeah, well said, Jack. Yeah, I thought this was the best thing about Raw. It's a very good match. They did their thing. Apparently, they're forgetting that Viking Raiders did that SpongeBob sing-along, which we enjoyed. And by we, I mean me, because I couldn't sing SpongeBob last podcast about 5 times. Any thoughts there, Jack?
Well, not on the match, but on the... I thought that was decent. But on the... on the whole Viking Raiders thing, so the Revival were on Talk as Jericho recently and talked about that weird comedy cartoon gimmick they were pitched by Vince, and apparently it's all true, like that those costumes were real, and they were really pushing them to do it. So when the Revival came back and went, all right, yeah, we'll do that then, they stopped pushing them to do it because it was more about them feeling uncomfortable about having to do it. Which is very cruel way of doing stuff, but it is WWE, so, you know.
They lied to the Revival, didn't they? Apparently yes. The gimmick they pitched, Matthew, was like, the Revival getting so frustrated that like comedic tag teams getting their time. They'd be like, oh, you want comedic tag teams and funny stuff? Here, we'll do it as well. That was just a lie, wasn't it? Make a fool out of them.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't do it.
The way that you make it sound, though, if they said it like that, that doesn't sound too bad. If they're taking the mic out a New Day like that, like, ha-ha, oh, you sell toys. Well, we're going to make our own toys. It's like a little Revival action figure or whatever. But, yeah. And they say, all right, we'll agree to do it. They go, oh, you're not going to do it if you want to do it.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah, WWE. Gotta love it. Drew McIntyre beats Murphy. Bronze tries to beat Drew down after the match, but Drew fires up and Seth bails to the video editing software to take out Roman Reigns from this particular thing. That was just a thing, really, wasn't it? Any other thoughts on Raw, ladies and gentlemen?
Not really. It was a bit of a nondescript one.
Mm-hmm. Cool. On to AEW Dynamite, and we get Nyla Rose is back, and she squashes 18-year-old Kenzie Page. Thanks for coming. John Moxley beat Kazarian, but is jumped by the Dark Order. Brody Lee challenges Moxley to a title shot, which Moxley accepts. Before getting beaten down again. Yeah, he did. Joey Janela lost to Cody Rhodes in a good match by the standards of Janela. Now, I do like Janela, but he's at his best falling off roofs. He's a Jay Briscoe that is made to wrestle like Gerald Briscoe and ends up looking like Wes Briscoe.
Oh, you've thought of that before. That's
Thank
a good
you.
One.
I wrote it. Yeah. Murder Hawk annihilated Granny Smith. And then Jake Roberts showed up to dump his large pulsing snake all over Brandy Rhodes.
No, don't do that.
It wasn't just the snake. It was the pelvis as well.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it can do that thanks to DDP yoga. And I did see a comment online that was, wow, after he did what he did to his wife, I can't wait for Cody to sunset the flip out of Archer.
No, Cody knows how to be angry in matches.
Well, we'll see.
Where was he, though? Has this been explained?
Oh, yes. Because he said, well, I've had my match with Janela and I'm going to go have a big shower. And it was commentary that said, well, he's away for a bit. And so that's when, you know, Murder Hawk went, like, snuck past the shower and looked at the camera and went, and then
that's a big bloody shower, that, mind. Yeah. Goodness knows what he must have been doing in there.
How do
I feel about Jake the Snake, though? Because I've seen it's very much split opinion. Was it too far?
I don't know if it was too far in terms of the storyline, but I don't know if he should have been there around everyone. No. And I don't know if Someone was saying that he accidentally stood on the snake at one point, which is sad, if true. Very good.
Stood on its tail, if a snake has a tail.
Well, not anymore.
That snake they had was similar to the one that we had in the office when Sam did his snake punishment. What day that was. Ross wasn't there. I forgot that you weren't there.
Yeah, I didn't come in. I'm scared of snakes, me. Not a fan. Terrified. Brandy's game for hour, isn't she?
Yeah.
I couldn't have sat there and just had a snake crawl over me like that.
Didn't even move.
No.
What, you say you're scared of snakes? That I survived in Newcastle or Gator for that long. So, am I right then saying that this is the first time Jake's, like, he's put snakes over people before, but it's the first time he's been like, like, like a lead, like, yeah, come here, you. Yeah. He's always just been like, look, it's a giant snake. Like, like, that's enough. I've never seen Jake do that before, where he's, apart from he was arresting, but that was a different time.
It was very uncomfortable.
It's been a bit more like, oh, does this remind you of anything? Catchphrase, say what you see.
Oh.
I didn't. It made me uncomfortable, but that was the point, I guess. So.
Yeah, a bad guy did a bad thing. I'm going to move on. And in good news, though, the casino ladder match replaces that bloody crap battle royal that it looked like we're going to make an annual tradition. Yay, finally.
It's good, like,
news.
Why'd you hear this?
They announced it on the rundown for Double or Nothing. That's the thing. I didn't pay attention to any of the matches announced. I just put, yay, the Battle Royal's dead. Yay.
How many people's in it?
They said they'll have more news next time. So a bunch of, you know, when they do the graphics, there's just a bunch of like ladders stood on the air like that. Like, look, ladders. Also some wrestlers. So, and Matt Hardy and Omega brawled with Les Sex Gods.
Oh my God, this match.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Matt started off as Broken Matt from the Mahasis, or whatever he says, and then he got thrown backstage and came back, and he's dressed as Attitude Era Matt with the long slacks and the thing, and, you know. And then he got thrown into a block of ice, which you may or may not have just heard about, and then came back as Broken Matt Hardy.
I'm intrigued to see how they're going to do this when he has a singles match. Because obviously when there's a tag match, there's some people in the ring to distract from the fact he's backstage or in an ice box getting changed. Like, but how they're going to do that when it's a singles match? I can't wait to see. That was my first thought.
Maybe they won't. I liked it a lot. Were you going to carry on with the match recap, Matthew?
You know what, Jack? You can take it away. So much stuff happened.
No, I'm too excited by it. I'm not going to be able to structure this. There was a golf cart and there was ice. Sammy Guevara took the best bump off a vehicle that I've ever seen in my life. It was amazing. It sounds like, you know, in Anchorman, when Brick is describing the fight they've just had, when he's like, yeah, there were horses and a man on fire and I killed a guy. It just sounds like that. There was so much stuff. Kenny Omega tried to do his best Ibushi impression, moonsaulting off a scissor lift. It was so good. The heels won in the end, and then the screen above the Jacksonville Jaguars stadium lit up with Inner Circle, and they all flipped off the camera, and it was just astounding. It was so good, so much fun. What did you think, Matthew?
Yeah, it was, loved it. It almost made me forget that they're all breaking social distancing right now and they're all rotten. It was a great match. I enjoyed it until reality hit me. And yeah, Sammy Guevara getting hit by that golf cart. Shades of, I think we talked about this on the show beforehand, Jerry Lawler getting hit by, I believe, it's one of the Gilberts, either Doug or Eddie.
In the car park?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jerry Lawler's supposed to move out the way, but he's just like, just stutter stepped and end up taking it. Ah. Good times.
It was so good.
I love Sammy Guevara. Everybody's doing his thing with the signs, or he's getting hit with vehicles. Such a good lad. The rundown for Double or Nothing, Brody Lee will take on John Moxley for the title. Don't think about the ranking. Don't worry about it. Chris Jericho's taking on Matt Hardy. Cody will be taking on Murder Hawk. And thinking it all off the top of my head.
Ladder match?
The big old ladder matchy thing.
Oh, MJF and Jungle Boy.
That's it. MJF is no longer injured. And this is weird because when MJF's been doing these skits, I think he's been amazing. I love his act and everything he does. This week, they had him green screened, and it was one of the fakest looking green screens that has happened for some time.
Since 2016, really. Since June of 2016, the WCPW green screen.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that was a real brick wall.
Yeah.
Still real to me.
It was just a bit fuzzy that day. Brilliant.
That was four years ago, that. Devastating. Sorry.
WCPW. As soon as he started moving, it looked fine. And then he got up and started walking around and had other people. And it looked like one of those really bad FMV games from 93.
Mm.
Like Night Trap, or I realize I might be losing the audience there, so I'll move on. Anyway, it looked like crap, but AEW's still all right. And nothing else happens on a Wednesday. Oh, don't be silly. On NXT, Tozawa and Kushida get wins in the Cruiserweight Championship Tournament. Or the Knee One Climax, as I call it.
The Knee One Climax? Because there's Knee One.
Oh, Knee,
you know?
As in Knee. Right. See, if I was out of the Knee One, but.
Oh, well,
that's good.
You're from...
That is actually a good. That's actually a good joke, though, Jack. I'll
you're from a slightly different part of the Northeast to me, but still, I'm very. I was buzzing when I thought of that. The Knee One Climax.
Yeah, the Geordie line, the posh Geordie, I'm sorry. Karen Cross squashed. Wait, the jobber's name was Leon Ruff.
Yeah,
Ruff is spelled R-U-F-F.
Yeah, he's a regular.
I know, that's such a great name. He's like he's a little dog. Charlotte gets herself DQ'd versus Io Shirai by using a kendo stick, and Shirai is saved by Rhea Ripley, but they argue.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It was an all right match, but before we got into this, NXT was hyped up as being like this almost takeover-level show this week. Wasn't it? Like, this was supposed to be like a really special one to coincide with like Money in the Bank and whatever, but it honestly just felt like a normal show to me.
Felt really flat, especially the main event, yeah.
Yeah. Gargano beat Dijakovic after removing the turnbuckle pad because he's a diddler now. And the main event, not what we're talking about, the not ring camp guys, so we want the main event. Velveteen Dream loses to Adam Cole, who knows if he was supposed to win until reports about Velveteen Dream 2 weeks ago. That went absolutely nowhere. All we know is Velveteen Dream was supposed to be the next Prince, but now he's the next R. Kelly. So, any thoughts about NXT this week? We all saw it. Anything else, or should we just let that simmer?
Yeah, simmer.
Oh, okay, cool. Let's look at the ceiling. What a great week for wrestling it was. Let's move on to the next segment.
Let's have a rummage in our mail bags.
And now it's time to have a little look in the mailbag. Number one. Hello, gang. Over the past week or two, this little game has been floating around the Cultaholic Facebook group and other wrestling social media. Create a wrestling stable using a wrestler for each letter of your first name. Just make it more interesting. Try to pick at least one heavy, a high flyer, a woman, and a mouthpiece slash manager.
If you have a short name.
A woman. If you have a short name, then feel free to use your last name. And this person went with Tetsuya Naito, Rhea Ripley, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Samoa Joe, Tama Tonga, Adam Page, Nigel McGuinness as their manager. See if you can work that out with his. Thank you all for carrying on with this wonderful content, Strike Us All from the World. Bloody hell. As I'm typing this, my power went out. I have no idea why, and I'm pretty sure the world is ending. God, thanks again, Tristan Glover. Imagine having one email to send the world, and it's to us. Thank you, Tristan. Much appreciated. And so, you sent me this earlier, Jack, so we have a bit more preparation, make this nice. You left out the bit about needing specific people. I just picked people I liked, so this is going to go great.
No, I didn't.
I only read the important bit.
Please read my message now. Please read it now. Read our conversation now.
Facebook deleted it. Oh, no.
Okay.
Those damn Russians striking again. do you want to go first, Jack?
Go on, then. I've just gone with my first name. I know he said you could use either, but both my names are the same, Len. So I've got Jazz as the woman. I've got... Why is that funny? Jazz is
good. So you say it as the woman.
The woman. Arn Anderson, managing. A young... What's wrong? You can still have Arn. I've got a young Chris Jericho as the high flyer. Like WCW Cruiserweight Jericho. And then Kevin Steen, Ring of Honor Kevin Owens, as the K. That's mine. So it's Jericho and Owens, but with an old school twist. And then Jazz is there as well as an enforcer. That's mine. Who wants to go next?
Oh, I'll go, because I know Ross's will be better than mine. I'm going to have M for Mr. Kennedy for the promo section that's going to start Raw for 20 minutes. He'll be doing all that, and the rest of the gang will be going, yeah, behind him. Arn Anderson, because he's good in stables and can bring his own beer cooler. Freddie Blassie, the manager of champions. Andre, the giant, WrestleMania. Flash Morgan Webster.
You're going for your name.
It was a mistake because I picked Flash Morgan Webster because he was literally the only guy I could find whose name starts with F other than Freddie Blassie. Oh, also he's a high flyer. Oh, that's handy. He was going to be Evil Uno, but now I've realised I have to have one of them women. I'm going to have Eve Torres because I like her theme song and she can get us going in the third quarter. And W for... Oh, this is tough, this one, having to pick a wrestler I like who has W in his name. Oh, what the hell, I'll pick Volta so I can I can do something atypical with him and book him properly.
Ooh.
Ooh, harsh words there. Ross, what have you got for your name?
I've got my big, thick quota filled by Relic, which is killer backwards.
You didn't go for Rusev?
No, I didn't go for Rusev. I don't know what he's called now. Rest in peace, Rusev. Promise never fulfilled. And I've got Owen Hart for the high flyer quota. Early Owen Hart, I guess. Stampede Owen Hart. Shut up, Matthew. I've seen the tapes. And we've got Shark Boy for an S. And then my woman / manager quota is Sensational Sherry.
Ooh.
Okay.
I've killed two women with one stone there. Whoops.
Hey, look, the next question. Hi, lads. Hope you're all keeping fit and keeping healthy. Well, thanks anyway. Big respect to you boys for powering through this tough time and keeping us listeners as sane as possible. My question for you boys is as follows. With the newly awarded Colonel Tom's number one song, good God, you know I'm in this bubble too much when I thought Tom Campbell's got a song. Colonel Tom's number one song in the UK charts, what is the wrestling song or entrance song that you think could have been successful in the mainstream charts? Many thanks, Tom X. Or is that Tom with a kiss?
It's a kiss, isn't it? It's got to be a kiss.
No, I like the fact his name's Tom X.
Tom X.
He's an NWA jobber from 1984. So a wrestling song that you think could have been successful in the mainstream charts?
Don't worry.
Real American.
Okay.
By Hulk Hogan. I think that could have charted.
I am going to go for Wild and Young by American Bang, the old NXT theme tune. Absolutely fantastic. My favourite wrestling song. Love it. That's mine. Wild and Young, American Bang.
Do you mind me how that one goes?
We are wild and young. It's not a wrestling sounding song at all, and it's pretty crap, but I love it.
I think I remember that one. That's when they had Bobby Roode in his 40s as the champion, right?
No, it's when it was a game show. You got Daniel Bryan in the
Oh, that NXT. Oh,
yeah.
God. Okay, great.
Really, really bad song. Really bad.
Ross.
I've come up with a specific scenario for mine. You know, 2004, I think, massive hit, Eamon, with all these swear words in. F what I said. Oh, it don't mean S now. What was his girlfriend called who did the retort?
Was it Frankie?
Frankie, that's the one. That escaped
That was too fast. That was so quick.
That was good. Well done.
No, that's good. Frankie could have done Undertaker's You're Gonna Pay theme in retort and it would have got higher than it already got. That's what I was thinking. You're Gonna Pay. What a banger. Especially this year of all the years.
Yeah, fair enough.
I like, you've done it now.
Imagine if Eamon was singing that effing and blinding, then she popped up, you've done it now, you've gone and made a big mistake.
Gonna get the ass kicked. Somebody gonna get the wig split.
I got really worked as a child by Eamon and Frankie. Apparently they didn't even really know each other.
Oh, well.
Was that not fake?
Yeah, it was fake.
It's the third time kayfabe's bit me in the arse in my life.
What, Total Divas?
Total Divas was the second, after professional wrestling, obviously. Mm. Shoot Hurricane Ranas don't really exist, do they?
Hidey-ho, my neighbourinos across the big pond. Big fan of Cultaholic. Not a day goes by I don't take in some kind of your fantastic content, whether it be on the podcast, lists, reactions, news graded, or WTF moments. You never fail to entertain me and take my mind off all the goings-on in the world today. I'm a big fan of TNA/Impact and want to do an inter-promotional champions challenge. Best world champion. I guess is where we have to pick one. Tessa Blanchard versus Braun Strowman versus Drew McIntyre versus Adam Cole versus Jon Moxley versus Rush versus Volta versus Naito. Before we go in, is Rush Ring of Honor champion?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize he got it back. I thought it was still PCO.
No, I think Rush got it. I'm going to check that while we think about this.
Is this a really old question?
Maybe.
No, it was in this week's mailbag. So unless they got the facts mixed up, I don't know.
It went to the spam folder. It says, I've just been outside with my friends. He goes, it was a while ago. So who's the best world champion of all those world champions listed? You can tell it's a TNA/Impact champion because they've listed Tessa Blanchard first. As opposed to, Moose.
Yeah.
So who's the current best champion at the minute?
It's a hard one.
Yeah.
It's hard because half of them aren't wrestling.
I was going to say, we're judging this off their current reigns or what? Or just how we feel about them?
I guess it has to be who was the best before lockdown, maybe. Although, not because Drew won it in lockdown. Oh, I don't know.
Let's just say how you feel about them and,
I think for me, it's Adam Cole.
Why is that? Is it because he's young and wild?
He's wild and young. Slow it down. You move a little too fast. He's good in the ring. He's good on the mic. He looks like a star. He's so handsome. And he's cheeky as well. Did anyone see Xavier Woods' tweet with them all lip-syncing along to like some old Usher song? Oh, right. Okay. Well, check that out and then you'll understand why I'm picking Adam Cole. It's so funny. Yeah, that's Adam Cole is my pick.
I'll pick Drew just because of the Twitter interaction I had, I think, last week when I uploaded the Seth and Drew sit-down contract signing. And it wasn't because of his accent completely disappearing. It was the fact that there were a bunch of people going, oof, is this wrestling? All these big Scottish bearded men. Is it always like this? There was, for some reason, a bunch of them jumped up. You know, sometimes when you're in wrestling Twitter and then you do something, that goes into an altered version of Twitter, another category, and suddenly people are like, oh. Oh, okay. So, Drew McIntyre, keeping people warm during the winter, shall we say. Ross, who have you got?
I was going to go for Adam Cole as well, primarily because of all the wrestling he did towards the end of last year. He had that wild and young period around Survivor Series, didn't he, when he was getting jetted all over the world, wrestling here, on a plane, wrestling there, going everywhere. So Adam Cole, a workhorse brother, and a sexy one at that.
Yeah, really handsome.
Mm. Best tag champions, The North, Ethan Page and Josh Alexander, versus The Street Profits, versus The New Day, versus Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham, versus Omega and Page, versus Gallus, versus God. Oof. God doesn't have much of a win-loss record in wrestling at the minute. You go first again, Jack, because we like you so much.
I'm going to have to give it to the New Day, I think, just on consistency. They're going to go down as one of the best tag teams ever. But if we're going on current form, then I'll go for Paige and Omega, because up until the lockdown, they were doing the best thing in wrestling, in my opinion. So I'll go for Paige and Omega, but overall, has to be the New Day. Matthew?
I was going to say New Day, but I remember they're on SmackDown, which is a kiss of death. So, balls to it, I'm going to go with the North. One of the most consistent things about Impact Wrestling the last few months, and oftentimes I've watched it, no, I don't watch it every week, but I'll watch, tune in, see some stuff, and a lot of it just passes me by, and I go, I can't believe bloody Rhino and Sabu are still here. But the North have been good with the opponents they've had. They've had, like, the Radicals, the Desi Hit Squad, to name all of them. And I like them. I like Ethan Page is a great self-publicist in a nice way. And if you don't believe me, go on his Twitter for 5 seconds and you'll see what I mean. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the North. Yeah, kind of.
Imagine if Bowers booked the North and then they'd come out. North wrestling. Oh, God. Ross.
A bit of local humour there. Ross, where have you got?
I need to watch the North because the Revival named them as a team they want to face. Up and coming. So they must be good if the Revival want to have a wrestle with them. But I was literally going to say exactly what Jack said. Because I was reading on Twitter after Big E won the titles back for the New Day, people going like, oh no, not the New Day again. There was a little bit of a turn going on. I was like, hang on a second. We're in the midst of faction greatness here on Smackity Down with the New Day.
Yeah. Smackity Down.
Yes, Smackity Down. Like
best mid-card champion. Willie Mack, who's won the X Division title. Sami Zayn, current whereabouts unknown. Andrade versus Kenta versus Naito versus John Moxley versus Dragon Lee.
Kenta?
Jack again.
Was Kenta one? Is he the never openweight champion?
He's the mid-card champion.
Yeah. I think out of those ones, it's got to be Naito. I know that it's only one of the belts that he holds. He's got the big one at the minute, but over the past few years, he's been the best IC champ in New Japan since Nakamura. So mine is Naito.
Andrade, because look at him.
Okay, yeah.
Because, God, so good. I love the character. I love the package he has with his manager. I love the fact that he's just gathering people who like him. He's just a charismatic, nice dude. People flock to him. You all right?
I love the package he has.
Oh, no. Didn't even mean that. Yeah, Andrade, and that's all I've got. Ross?
I'm going to go for Sami Zayn. Just even though the Intercontinental Championship is dead, you know, it's on its arse at the minute. It's nice to say Sami Zayn, Intercontinental Champion. So that's why I'm going to go for Sami Zayn.
Good times. And finally, best women's champion. Jordynne Grace versus Bayley versus Charlotte versus Becky Lynch versus Nyla Rose. And let's go with Jack again.
It's a hard one. I'm going to go Becky, but I do think she should have lost at WrestleMania. I don't know why she beat Shayna. But this reign that she's had has been like a really historic one. So I'm going for Becky Lynch as with the Raw belt, not when she was double champion. That was fine as well.
God, this is tough. Yeah, they're all... Maybe Jordynne Grace is having a good run, I don't know. But don't care about Bayley's run. Don't care about Charlotte as NXT champion. Don't. Becky Lynch should have lost to Shayna, as you said. And there's Nyla Rose. Oh, Nyla, because, yeah. Just
fair
because.
Enough. She was really mean to Tony this week.
Oh, there we go. There's one positive, because she was mean to Tony this week. Thank you, Jack.
She went, who is the most dominant force in the women's division? And Tony was about to answer, and then she cut him off like The Rock and went, it doesn't matter. Wrong. It's me. But what if Tony had been about to say her? She didn't give him a chance.
That'd be awkward. Who's the best? You are. Shut up.
Yeah. You're wrong.
Yeah, I'll pick good old Nyla, and she loves Killer Instinct, so that's two good reasons. Ross.
I'm going to go for Charlotte Flair, because she's really bloody good. And I think people forget that when she's... It's not her choice to be booked in every single world title feud and this, that, and the other down the years. She's been over-pushed, over-saturated, whatever you want. I think she's very good. It's not, she's not going to say no, is she, all these opportunities? Not her fault. Go on, Charlotte. Yeah.
Yeah, you tell them, Ross.
Yeah.
As always, love your content and hope that more and more wrestling companies continue to work so you have content to cover. Cover more than just WWE. Yeah, well, people need to click on those ones then, don't they? Much love. Stay healthy. Stephen from, I can never get this word right,
Syracuse.
Syracuse. That doesn't look like how that's spelled at all. New York, USA. Should have gone with New York. Syracuse with a S-Y, whatever.
Syracuse.
Bloody made up place. And that's all the letters we have in this section. If you have any or any random questions or suggestions for our lives, then please, please, please don't hesitate to send them to mailbag@cultaholic.com. Now it's time for Reese's Pieces. Hey, all you cool cats and diddlers. Every time. Be catching up with Vice's Dark Side of the Ring. And after watching the Brawl for All episode, I started to wonder which wrestlers would win in a legitimate fight. We'd be great to hear your thoughts on who would win these dream Brawl for All fights when in their prime. Well, here we go. Fighting experts, the three of us are, to give our thoughts here. And as always, the first time watching Reese's Pieces, it's the fastest thought first. It's the thing that comes to your head. So we'll go around the table. We'll start off with Jack, then Ross, then me. Brock Lesnar versus Ken Shamrock.
Brock Lesnar. That's hard.
I was going to say, is this an open weight thing? Oh, yeah, yeah, sure, yeah. Lesnar. Pretends like Pride in 2003 or something. Steve Austin versus The Rock.
I think Austin's meant to be quite hard, isn't he? I'll go for Austin.
I'll go for Austin as well.
I'm picking The Rock if it's like Fast and the Furious Rock who shows up looking like Altered Beast. So, Chris Jericho versus Triple H.
Jericho beat Goldberg in a fight, so he can beat Triple H in a fight. That's my logic.
Yeah, Jericho stood up to Lesnar as well, didn't he? Doesn't give a toss.
Mad.
Yeah. Jericho, low drop kick to the knee, you got him. John Moxley versus Roman Reigns.
Moxley's been kayfabe doing a bit of the MMA training, hasn't he? I'll go for Moxley, but Roman's, that's a close one. I'll go for Moxley.
I reckon Roman Reigns is really hard in real life, so I'm going to go Roman Reigns. Not to say that John Moxley isn't, I just think Roman Reigns is probably hard.
Yeah, even though Moxley is the street fighter hardcore dude, Roman Reigns is Samoan.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Just saying. Balls. Goldberg versus Batista.
Did Batista have an MMA fight in the end, or did that never happen?
He did have it.
He did have it, yeah, he had one, didn't
it
he?
It was rubbish.
Did he win?
Yeah.
I'll go for Batista then.
Because he fought like his next door neighbour or something. So
Goldberg in his prime would flatten him.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with that. Big old gridiron Goldberg.
Have you seen Batista in his prime as well?
Yeah, so did Booker T.
Yeah. Oh, no, I forgot about that. Oh, no, I've got that one wrong. Never mind.
New Jack versus Nails.
How big was Nails? Was Nails huge?
Nails is a big lad, isn't he? Yeah.
And this is unarmed. This is Brawl for All style. I'll go for Nails.
New Jack. Who knows what'll be in the gloves? Could be anything in there.
Smaller gloves. Yeah, if it's a one-on-one, no weapons involved, Nails. I'd pay genuine money to see it, though. Oh, here's the interesting one. Kurt Angle versus Taz.
Kurt Angle? Kurt Angle's an Olympic wrestler, so yeah, Kurt Angle.
No disrespect to Taz, of course, but Kurt Angle would flatten him.
Before he went to WWF, if you asked that question, Taz would have said him. Oh, yeah, me. And we told that story last time, didn't we, that they booked MMA dude Paul Verhoeven to come in to wrestle Taz. And then just before, like a week before the match, it was supposed to be a fake wrestling match, Paul Verhoeven gets cold feet and goes, actually, I don't want to do this fake thing. I might make my career look bad, to be honest with you. And so Taz suggested, why don't we do it for real? And then, like, the day also before they got it figured out, But then it was obviously fake and wrestling and everything. But then Taz went around the entire locker room afterwards telling everybody, listen, if it was a real fight, I would have beaten him. And Paul Vian's reply was something along the lines of, how can I lose to someone who only comes up to my knee?
I've been watching, because I've been so bored in lockdown, I've been watching some really old UFCs, and Paul Vian's is on quite a lot of them. And his nickname is the Polar Bear. He's absolutely huge. He's crap. Like, he's got no technique, but I don't think that matters because he's so massive. I don't know. So, yeah, Kurt Angle.
I love this next one. Shane McMahon versus The Miz.
The Miz, I think.
I was listening to Joe Rogan. I think DDP was on, and they were speaking about The Miz. And Joe Rogan knew The Miz from Survivor or something. Something like that.
Fear Factor, maybe?
Fear Factor, yeah.
Fear Factor, that was it. And Joe Rogan said The Miz is properly hard, so I'm going to go with The Miz.
Really? Nice. Right.
Yeah, I'll go with The Miz because I'm actually having a normal schedule. Shayna Baszler versus the Tamina Train.
Oh, my God, Shayna. Shayna would win.
She's a train, man. She's a flattener. Tamina.
Meow. The poor Vians of SmackDown, Tamina. Vince Russo versus Jim Cornette.
Oh, God.
Oh, I've stood next to both of those men and can confirm that Jim Cornette's about my height, maybe a little bit shorter. Vince Russo is massive. He's so tall. Vince Russo's so tall. I'm going Vince Russo. I wouldn't want him to win, but I'm going for him.
I'm going to go Cornette because I think he wants it more.
Yeah.
Cornette. I think Cornette could land a blow. Could beat him without putting his fist up just by yelling at him. Like the old Mortal Kombat fatality was yells a promo, you stupid mother! And Vince Russo's skin just peels off.
I can't emphasise how tall Russo is.
Again, I saw him at IPW when he had that weird thing where every European promotion booked him to come out and do the guest GM of the night. And then the main event, you come out and go, ha, swerved ya. Bret Hart versus Owen Hart. In a real fight.
Ooh. Bret Hart. Owen was too much of a happy soul, wasn't he? Whereas Bret's the very opposite. So Bret would win.
Bret's the big brother. So as a big brother, Bret would win.
I think Owen would win because he tied Bret's shoes together before the fight. Bruiser Brody versus Nathan Jones.
Nathan Jones is absolutely monstrous. I'm going for Nathan Jones.
I'm only saying this based off something that was said in the Cultaholic chat this morning by Richard Tubman. Apparently Nathan Jones had a fight or something. I don't know if Richard wants to pop on and peel the curtain back or whatever. But apparently Nathan Jones got shown up in a legitimate fight or something years ago.
Oh, I've seen that. That was him against against Koji Kato, the late great Koji Kato. It's one of the fakest MMA fights you'll ever see in your life. No way. Near way. So.
All right, no. I'll go for Nathan Jones.
Who are you going for, Matthew?
Moving on.
Okay.
Bruiser Brody. Just because I saw that fight that he had, Nathan Jones. And I did like him in Fury Road, though. Appreciate it. CM Punk versus Matt Riddle.
Why have they done that one? What's that one about?
Because they're both in UFC.
Right. But, okay. Matt Riddle.
Yeah, Matt Riddle.
Matt Riddle. I'd love to see it. Battle of the Bounty Hunters, Dr. D, David Schultz, slap, versus Steve Blackman.
Steve Blackman.
Oh, it's Dr. D. He's got like 4,000 people or something. I was listening to Talking Shop and he was on there and I think he said he's captured over 4,000 people. He's a mental man.
I know, Steve Blackman took down Big Show with just his feet. So I'm going with him.
Wait, what?
David D did take down John Stossel with just his hand.
Did Steve Blackman actually take down Big Show with just his feet?
Yeah, he was on the floor. He fell over and Big Show said something to him. So he just took him, put his legs around his legs and then twisted and Big Show went, ugh.
Wow.
I heard that story.
Steve Blackman. No, go look on YouTube.
I'm sure Conrad's got 15 people that used to work for WF talking about it. Spike Dudley versus Marco Stunt.
Ooh. I'm going for Spike because he's had a rougher rougher experience, hasn't he? He's come up in the ECW locker room. Whereas Marco's friends with all the fun lads from AEW. So I'm going for Spike Dudley.
Yeah, Spike's been and done it all. So I would say Spike's got the experience here.
Yeah. LSD all the way. Vince McMahon versus God.
Currently, Vince is winning. So go for Vince.
So I was going to say, well done, Joe.
Vince has already won, hasn't he?
Yeah, he did beat him.
Backlash 2006.
Yeah. But God's revenge that we're going through now, Vince is still winning. Yeah. I don't know. Vince looks like he's going to outlive us all. So. God, looks like God's on the ropes, I guess. Wow, what a great way to end that. Cheers for the hard work. Great content during these tough times. Tom, with a question mark, from Sweden.
What?
I think that's supposed to be that like Anchorman.
Tom.
Thank you very much, Tom, for that lovely question. If you have any Reese's Pieces, please, please, please send them to mailbag@cultaholic.com.
It's Cultaholics. The question.
Wow, what a great podcast.
It's been so good.
Yeah, it has. Oh. See how sincere I do that every week. God, you're right, Jack.
Yeah, my back was a bit strained there, but it's okay now. Oh.
Yeah, your back hurt from carrying this podcast. And this week's big question is, of course, who should win Money in the Bank 2020? Let's have a quick look down the card. We have Braun Strowman will be defending the Universal Championship against Bray Wyatt. Grr. Bayley defending the title against Tamina. Yeah, there we go. Choo-choo. Drew McIntyre defending the WWE Championship against Seth Rollins. And The New Day will defend the SmackDown Tag Team Championships against The Miz and Joe Morrison. Hey, hey, ho, ho. The Forgotten Sons. Oh, well. And Lucha House Party. And maybe we'll get Street Profits versus Viking Raiders as well for the Raw Tag Team titles. And maybe we won't. Who knows? It's wrestling. But the Money in the Bank matches are for the women's contract, Asuka versus Shayna Baszler versus Nia Jax versus Dana Brooke versus Lacey Evans versus Carmella. And the men's one is Daniel Bryan versus Rey Mysterio versus Aleister Black versus King Corbin versus Otis versus AJ Styles. A lot of stuff there, like a bag of revels. So I'll go first and be nice. What is that noise in the background? Did anyone else hear that?
It wasn't me.
All right, cool. I'll carry on then. Sorry for the awkwardness. For the women's championship, I am going to go with Shayna Baszler on the basis that I think this will be a perfect opportunity if you get the briefcase and then immediately challenge Becky Lynch for a rematch and then finally get the title off her. I'm basically just going on with what should have happened at WrestleMania because I love Shayna. She is so good. She bites people and she is not scared of anything. Ross, what have you got?
Yeah, I was going to pick Shayna as well. Although, if I had to go for a second pick, it would be Asuka. Just as a nice reward for being the star of the self-isolation era. I think she's come out of this little period shining the best. The brightest star shining. Shining in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle. Little Asuka. Jack?
I was going to go for Shayna, and then I was going to pick Asuka as my second pick. But if I had to pick a third one, who else is left?
Asuka, Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, Carmella.
I mean, I wanted it to be Sasha Banks, and she's not even in the match. So I'll go for Lacey Evans, because she has been improving recently. So that's my third pick. But I agree with you and Ross that Shayna should be the number one and should win. Should be the number one and should win. Bloody hell, Jar.
I mean, winning would make her number one. You are right.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying, though.
It's okay. It's in the podcast. We're running on fumes.
Yeah.
So for the man's belt, you know, with Lynx Africa and some tools around the house, we have balls to it. Give it the person who was carrying SmackDown, Otis. All hail Otis, king of SmackDown. Best storyline going, best thing going. Otis. Gets titled, all that.
That's
it. That's all I have to just find myself. Give somebody a caterpillar off the ladder. bounces up off his belly, grabs it, it's like, and that's how the show goes off the air. Ross, your thoughts?
Who else is in it? I've forgotten completely.
Styles.
I'll do the rundown like the Generation Game. You can win Daniel Bryan, Rey Mysterio, Aleister Black, King Corbin, Otis, and AJ Styles.
I would like to see somebody like, because Aleister was a bit more heelish on Raw this week, I think. Even though he was calling out a heel in AJ Styles, so that didn't really make much sense, did it? I'd like to see Aleister Black get it. We're saying who should win, shouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
New star on the scene. Give it to someone to ascend up to the next level. Aleister Black.
Mine was Aleister Black as well. I'll pick a backup in Daniel Bryan, because Daniel Bryan never really has a bad storyline. Even the bad ones he makes good, and the good ones he makes an excellent storyline. So Daniel Bryan. But overall, I agree with Ross. I think it should be Aleister Black. I think he should head to SmackDown. And then if The Fiend's champion by then, he should wrestle The Fiend and take it off The Fiend in a dark, spooky, cinematic match experience.
Just think, oh, this is too big for the briefcase, mate. Doesn't need it. It's like the modern-day Roddy Piper in that respect.
Okay, well, I can't argue with that logic. And if you want us to talk about Money in the Bank more and our pitches, we do have a video coming up soon. You can see, hopefully, by subscribing to the Cultaholic YouTube channel. And if you haven't done that by now, what the hell's wrong with you? You freak. But that's all the stuff we have for here, unless there's any other thoughts on Money in the Bank.
Looking forward to it, mate.
I'm looking forward to it as well.
Are you actually looking forward to it?
Yeah.
Will you be watching it live?
Yeah. Yep. Not on camera. Adam's doing a live stream.
Adam, that guy that we work with.
Oh. Yeah.
I like it when he does those because it proves that he's still alive.
I should mention that we do have predictions that are up now, I believe. So a few of us have made predictions, but Adam's reacting.
Lovely. Sounds like there's a lot of stuff coming from the Cultaholic HQ to keep you happy during these trying times. But that's all you're going to hear from us and the podcast until Me in the Bank this Sunday. This has been Matthew and this big old poster here. There's my hand. Jack, any closing thoughts or things you want to plug?
Check out Rest of the Week, which will be up today at the time of this video's release. But no, can't think of anything in particular. Ross?
I've got a tier list video coming with Adam Pacitti where we rank every Cultaholic punishment ever. Unless, of course, something goes wrong with the edit. Sam hasn't told me yet, so hopefully it's fine.
Fantastic. Well, on that positive note, we leave you and love you, but we always make you feel like you're here. In our hearts, not in our rooms, you weirdo, get away from us. If you want to, you put your hand against your webcam. And on a count of three, it's almost like we're there with you. Oh, one, two, three, join us.
Join us.
Wugga, 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 wugga,
join wugga, wugga, wugga. Us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.